This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are as follow. We're going to talk about the Facebook Live shooting. We're going to talk about Netflix and a billion hours a week. We're going to talk about Google going after LinkedIn. And we're going to talk about the FCC potentially helping Google Fiber. And more importantly, I got a story about not going to jail in Alabama. You may starve. I'll share you some information about that, plus all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1194 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 17th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the longtime listeners of the show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for staying subscribed. Those of you that are a part of the Ohana, for those of you that are brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to the show for the very first time. I got a great show lined up for you, for all of you. Lots of content to go over. And more importantly, if you are here for the very first time checking this show out, we want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you got to do, get subscribed. And do that by simply clicking on the subscribe links on the sidebar of the website. You can sign up for our newsletter as well. That's in the second hand column. That'll stay keep you connected with the show. And of course, visit the site on a daily basis, not just for the podcast. My writing team's been pumping out a bunch of stuff. I'll talk about some of those articles here a little later in the show, of course. So definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. That's the place to go. If you've got comments about today's show, we want you to go over to basically send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews and drop me a line if you so desire. Join our Slack conversation. Yes, those of you who don't know what Slack is, send me an email and I'll send you a Slack invite so that you can join the team and join the chit-chat. You can follow me on Google+, on Facebook, just by searching for Todd Cochran. Watch this show on the Roku, on our Tech Podcast channel, or on the Apple TV. You can listen to Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch, review, and Blu-ray.com, or tell the Google Home device and use the keyword to launch your Google Home device. Okay. And then the name, play the podcast, Geek News Central. That'll get you all connected here with the show. And no matter what device you have, that's the best way to get connected and stay subscribed. Of course, I'm going to think our partner shows No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site, which is going to see a lot of action as we approach NAB by my GNC team, the Podcast Legends site, which is going to see a relaunch or restart, I guess, unpod fade here in the near future. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy has everything, I mean absolutely everything you need to get online. And we want you to take advantage of all our product and service offerings that we have available to you on the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page. And really, it starts off with a 99-cent.com, 30% off new product purchases. You can get a dollar a month economy hosting, dollar a month for the first year, economy hosting with a free domain, or a dollar a month for the first month. Managed WordPress hosting. And with that also includes a free domain. All those codes are on my website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to use those codes. Share those with your friends, family members, people that you know. You know, it's becoming spring in many of your areas. It's starting to warm up a little bit. This is a good time to start some new projects. And that could be a blog, could be a podcast, it could be a place to enhance your business website, you name it. GoDaddy has a lot of products and services just beyond hosting. So don't forget about that 30% discount code, okay? That's an important one to use when you're picking up all the other services that they have available. So if you need to be online and do anything online, Really GoDaddy is the place. Longtime sponsor here of this show, sponsoring the show since July of 2005. We want to thank them for their ongoing support. And for those of you watching the show, I'll leave the lower third up for a few minutes to remind you where to go to pick up those products and services. Again, grab those codes, use them, share them with your friends, family members, and people that you know. That's the important thing here to help us keep the lights on, keep the show moving forward. Looking at the totals for April, looks like we're on track. Maybe just a little bit behind, but maybe 'tis the season. But nothing to worry. I know you guys will pull it out for me here by the end of the month. So lots to go through tonight on the show, of course. Again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. All right, let me get in my short stack of stuff. I'm sure many of you had a good Easter. For the Christians that listen to the show, for the non-Christians that don't celebrate Easter, maybe you had time just to meet with the family or whatever. That's fine as well. It's great. So hope you had a happy Easter. My wife and I went to, we go to a local church here, and we went to the, they had a special service at the Blaisdell, which is basically an exhibition hall here. We went to that and went on Saturday because my wife had to work on Sunday, but did that. And of course, the new media show on Saturday, you know, early in the morning, Rob Greenlee and I put that on. We had a guest on that's putting on a podcast summit in Calgary, Canada. So if any of you are podcasters or thinking about becoming a podcaster and you live in Canada and you're within striking distance of Calgary, in middle of May, he's going to be having that. There'll be a link to that on the newmediashow.com website, so definitely check that out. I want to thank you again to my executive producer, Kirk Corliss, tonight for taking care of getting the show ready to go. I think I added 6 or 7 of my own articles, and then I probably removed 4, 5, 6 of his, so I think we're finding a little bit of a battle rhythm here as we move forward. Tonight I was extremely stressed for time because my son had soccer practice, and the coach kept him late. I think he ran him pretty hard. They did not have a successful game Saturday. My son had 2 games, and they were happening exactly the same time. So we went to the one for the middle school, and he didn't get to go to his AYSO game, which they lost. So the coach was not happy. So he worked him pretty hard today during the practice. I had a tired young man in my vehicle on the way home from practice. But I just want to share one thing with you guys, too, is Friday afternoon, my daughter, I worked on my daughter's taxes. I helped them with their taxes. And she, well, let's put it this way. She did okay. She's a student, but she also had some earnings. She did very well for herself for the year. And when I figured her taxes out, she came up a little short. And about $1,000 short on her tax bill. So I reworked it 5 times. I was using, and for the kids' taxes, I just use H&R Block. I have an accountant that does mine, and because mine's too complicated for me to even do it, but helping them. So I get her on the phone because, you know, she's at her apartment, and I'm explaining to her how much she made, how little she paid in federal income tax. Now, when they're 20, they don't understand that Social Security and Medicare and all those other little taxes that you pay, you just don't get back. She didn't understand that the only thing that went towards her tax bill was the federal income tax that had been withheld. And of the money she had made, she had only had $700 withheld, and her bill was $1,700. So she was literally flipping out on me, crying on the phone. And I'm like, she said, I was counting on that money. And I'm like, well, I'm even with your deductions and everything else, you didn't pay enough in. And you were very much shortchanged by your employers. You didn't have your withholding right or something. And I said, what did you put on your withholding? And she had something like single 5 instead of single zero. So I was like, you need to change that immediately. You know, that is single zero is where you want to be. I said, your paycheck's going to go down, but you're not going to be crying to me on the phone. So she couldn't figure it out. I pay so much. It takes so much out of my check. And I'm like, welcome to the real world, sweetheart. There's only two things guaranteed in life, death and taxes. So, and then of course I'm like, do you know how much dad paid in taxes this year? And she goes, no. And I told her the amount and she's like, that makes me feel a little bit better. Meanwhile, she's still crying on the phone. And dad has had to help out a little bit. she is on a, you know, very tight budget, and that was not a planned budget line item. So she's all good, but oh man. And then my son, he only owed $70. So they were withholding the right amount for him. And but anyway, full-time students, but still, if you make too much money, you still have to pay a certain percentage, even with your deductions and everything else. That's life. Okay, what else? My NAB prep is continuing here. And hey, Mike, you said, this is funny, man. You said, I was just watching a new media show, and now you're live here. Too much Todd. Okay, that's cool, Mike. Sometimes I have too much of myself too. All right, Manuel. Thanks for checking in as well. If you're watching the show, definitely say hello in the chat room. If you're on YouTube, the gang's hanging out at facebook.com/Cochran. That's a place to hang out. But yeah, NAB prep is underway. I went to the storage unit. Picked up a Pelican case, brought it back to the house, and starting to pack it. So I'm going to do a little mixed deal at NAB. NAB is kind of my show to have fun, and I'll do some interviews because I am going with press credentials. So, you know, I do enough interviews to, you know, justify my press pass, but I'm also going to go and see a lot of stuff. I'll be sending a lot of pictures. We'll be doing a live blog. That'll be on Geek News Central as well. That all starts next week. Probably on Monday or Tuesday, the live blog will kick off on geeknewscentral.com. But just remember, no shows next week. This week we'll have two shows as planned. But then I fly out for Vegas Friday night, a couple of days of a little bit of downtime, and then hit it hard, really Sunday night, and then all the way through the end of the week. And then I actually don't fly back to Honolulu until Sunday, so I get a day or two down, day and a half down after the end of the show. My wife is currently on an airplane on the way to Japan. She comes back Friday morning, so we're going to kind of like high five. I'm going to pick her up in the airport, and I think we got a couple hours to do the turnaround where, you know, she basically drops me off. So that's the get go. She had she's working for the airlines. She's got this opportunity to fly for free. She has to pay the tax on international flights. But her and a girlfriend who both work at Hawaiian Airlines grabbed a Hawaiian flight to Narita today, and they'll be back Friday morning. But they scored first class tickets, so they sitting up. They have to wear business attire. Yes, that is the dress code with Hawaiian. If you're going to fly for free, you have to have business wear on. For the guys, that's a jacket and a collar, a button shirt, and slacks and dress shoes. And for the ladies, that's a skirt with a blouse and maybe a light jacket or, but it basically business attire, dress shoes. So she got boarded. She was properly attired, unlike some of the stuff that's been going on. But anyway, they're living it up on first class on the way to Narita as I record this. So my boys and I, we are all like slumming it here on our own. So my son was like, Dad, can we have pizza? And I'm like, Chris, no pizza. Dad is still trying to lose weight. And as a matter of fact, I stepped on the scales. I am very proud to announce I hit 200. So I'm down officially officially 15 pounds. And I'm looking for that 199. So 15 pounds on the way to and hopefully losing another 25. So I try to keep it up. All right, let's move into the show content tonight. And I want to talk just a little bit about this incident that happened in Cleveland yesterday. Matter of fact, I was not aware that this had went down. I was not online at all Sunday. This morning, got up at 4:30 in the morning. I had a call with a marketing firm at 5 a.m. Had Mackenzie, one of our team members on in Columbus, on the call with me. And she's like, did you hear about this, that shooting last night on, or yesterday on Facebook Live? And I'm like, no. And we're waiting for the client to come on the call. And she explained to me what happened. And her mom happened to be online when that went down, and her mother witnessed the shooting, this despicable person killing this 70-year-old man while live streaming on Facebook. So we talked a little bit about that, and it's just horrible. I mean, simply horrible. You know, we've had some people commit suicide on Facebook Live. We've had people be beat up on Facebook Live, and it's crazy. You know, I'm on Facebook Live right now. We've got some people watching the show, but Facebook today released an announcement, basically laying out the timeline of how this went down. And, you know, our hearts and prayers go out to the elderly man that was killed by this heinous criminal. But at 11:09 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the first video of the intent to murder was uploaded, and it was not reported to Facebook. At 11:11 a.m., they say the second video was uploaded. By my understanding, is it went, well, he must have done the shooting, then uploaded the video. So at 11:11, 2 minutes later, was the second video of the shooting, and I guess it was pretty graphic. At 11:22 a.m., the suspect confesses to the murder while using live, and he was live for 5 minutes. At 11:27 a.m., live ends, and live video is first reported shortly after that. At 12:50, it took an hour. Listen to this. So this was at 11:27 a.m. that he stopped the live. At 12:59, nearly an hour and a half later, the video of the shooting is first reported. 23 minutes later, the suspect's account was disabled and all videos were no longer visible to the public. But it took 90 minutes before someone reported the video. And yet, one of my team members' mothers apparently saw the video of the shooting. So, why did it take an hour and 32 minutes, 33 minutes, yes, 32, hour and 32 minutes for someone to report what had happened? Which is, tells me that either Facebook has a reporting problem, or people were so fascinated with they didn't. Facebook says we need to do better. They said we received a report about the third video containing the man's live confession only after it had ended. They say in addition to improving our reporting flows, we're constantly exploring ways that new technology can help us make sure Facebook is a safe environment. Artificial intelligence, for example, plays an important part in this, helping us prevent videos from being reshared in their entirety. So, but here's the thing. There should be some sort of like button that you can flag some content. Now, this will obviously result in false reporting. Mike James says, he had the old man say his name, then shot him point blank in the face. He says, you don't get to see the shooting, but then you see the old man in a pool of blood on the ground. So he didn't actually show the guy when he pulled the trigger. So, okay, I didn't have that detail. So did people think it was fake? There needs to be a way that with this live content where some sort of emergency response is available for people to report videos. And there should be consequences for people that falsely, just like you call 911 and you falsely report something going on, you're going to get a visit by the local police or constable. They're going to stop by and have a chat with you and maybe write you a ticket. On Facebook, if there's some sort of emergency reporting within a live video piece, if you false report, there should be some sort of function where you get your account suspended as well, something to that effect. But there should be a mechanism for people to report these types of incidents that are happening. Now, YouTube Live, not that I know of, is there's any function for that either. Ustream, all these other places that we can post content live, I don't think I've ever seen any type of emergency reporting system at all. So I know it's a big challenge because there are literally hundreds of millions of people that are on Facebook at any given moment. In order to monitor and to have some awareness of this kind of stuff, there has to be some a significant number of people doing this. They say, Facebook says, currently, thousands of people around the world review the millions of items that are reported to us every week in more than 40 languages. We prioritize reports with serious safety implications for our community and working on making that review process go even faster. There needs to be some sort of serious ability to escalate something that is bad. But you know, what scares me about this is you've had an individual. So what have we had so far? We've had suicides on Facebook Live. We've had beatings. You know, they've done Facebook Live and beating someone that was actually being held kidnapped. It was basically kidnapped at the same time. And now you've got someone that is, you know, committing murder. First of all, it's shocking enough that it actually went down. This individual did this. And now there's a nationwide manhunt for this individual. I think we all can suspect how this is going to end. It's not going to end well. And I'm sure justice will be served at some point, whether or not he's captured dead or alive. But, you know, this 70-year-old man is no longer with his family. And this murder happens on a daily basis in America. Death by gun, death by knife, death by, you know, all kinds of methods. It's the world we live in today, but it's just shocking when someone goes to so blatant. You know, he wants to be caught. It's not like, you know, he's done. And committing online, and committing, you know, confessing online. It's just, it's pretty shocking. Really. But we're talking about it, and I'm sure now there's folks out there with psychiatric issues and people that are having challenges that, you know, we'll probably see some more of this, some sort of copycat activities. You know, we hope and pray that doesn't happen, but I think we can just about expect at this point. Here's my advice to any of you. If you get in a situation where you are going to be subjected to something and it's like a slow motion and it's coming and you know that what's going to be on the video is not going to be good for you, my advice is to please turn away. These traumatic type of videos like this, even though we're used to all kinds of crazy stuff and on television and, but with, you know, with movies that's make believe, there's not quite anything that could, you know, it can affect you. can affect your psyche, can affect you mentally. It can scar you. And especially if you're not prepared for something like this, if you see something that is progressing online, it's live, you happen upon it, do your best to report it, but turn away, please. And believe me, it will be better for you in the long run. We have a lot of military people that witnessed a lot of horrible things, and they suffer PTSD, and they've been somewhat trained, and they expect to have this kind of stuff in their face, whereas people that are not, it may really impact you. So please take my advice, and if you see something like this, and don't, but I'm just cautioning you. And if you view content like this that is not made up, it's real, the impact can happen down the road. So you can be affected down the road. So please, please take that into account if something happens online that you're seeing something, and spare your brain that impact. Okay, we're gonna move on to more happy topics here. What a buzzkill, yeah? Amazing. Let's just hope they catch that guy before he hurts somebody else. All right, some news on Netflix. Mike also says they should make it so A, people can report and elevate to emergency status. B, have the pop-up under the video for others so those watching can vote on if it's true or not. I agree. Absolutely agree. He also says in the chat that would help police it. That's true. It would. But again, I'm not, spent my time in the military and having done combat missions, I've seen my share of stuff that I would prefer probably not to have seen. So even though it was from afar, so just to take my advice on this, it's never good to witness this type of violence. Okay, Netflix is hijacking one billion hours of our lives each week. This is amazing. Collectively, Netflix customers are streaming 1 billion hours every week in Netflix. Now, I watched the entire 10 hours of season 2 of Saul. And if there had been 20 more episodes, I'd have watched 20 more episodes. So I count for at least 10 in the past week, but 1 billion hours. And that's just amazing. Now, comparing Netflix multiple times to Google's free video giant YouTube, Chief Executive Reed Hastings noted that Netflix members watch over, again, a billion hours a week compared to YouTube's 1 billion hours streamed a day. So he says, we definitely have YouTube envy. Well, they're not that far behind, and people are paying to watch Netflix. People are not paying to watch YouTube. They're watching ads on YouTube. At the same time, Netflix is expecting to go over 100 million subscribers sometime in the next week. So the service added nearly 5 million subscribers during the first 3 months of the year and will end March at 98.7 million customers in roughly 190 countries. So they're about ready to bust over 100 million, and their stock was up $1.90 to $149.15. So congratulations to you that own that stock. Another article about Netflix that was out was their earnings total was 40 cents versus 37, so which you can expect that the stock will be up a little bit more, but $2.64 billion in revenue. Let's see, what else was some of the other totals here? They had 98.75 versus 98.93. So that was a little lower than what they expected, but the earnings was up quite a bit. So congratulations to Netflix on a fantastic quarter. On the last show, we talked about a iPhone 8 having vertical camera placement. And I kind of poo-pooed it at the time. I said, no way. I don't believe that Apple is going to do this, because they also, in the same image, showed the home button to be on the back side of the phone. But there is now some additional information. It's a sketch, but it comes from a pretty good source, from an individual that has basically been right a number of times. And even though it's just a sketch, the person that's confirming it has been accurate almost all the time on iPhone announcements and releases. So the camera position is changing. So we will see if the actual button is going to be in the back as well. And maybe they're just trying to give us more screen space. I don't know. But I keep thinking about the button being in the back, and it just seems odd to me that it would be in that position. I don't know how well that would work for, you know, it's so easy just to unlock your phone by, you know, putting your thumb on the sensor. So we will see where this goes. Maybe the scanner to unlock it will be back there where the camera lens is, but that doesn't make any sense either, because you don't want to wipe your greasy finger over the camera lens. But we will see where this goes for the iPhone 8. You know, LinkedIn, if you are looking for a job, you know, there's all these sites you can go to. You can go to Munster and, you know, all these places where jobs are listed. We found that to get a lot of valuable candidates over the past couple of years straight out of listing job listings at LinkedIn. And it's, you know, it costs about the same as it does to put a job listing on most of those other sites. And I'll give you an example. If you guys don't know, to do a posting on like Munster.com for an employer to put a job listing, it's about $400. And if, you know, if you're a big company, you can get a subscription service with them and it's lower. But, you know, if you're only doing one or two job postings a year, it's $400 per 30 days. And I think on LinkedIn, it's $250 to $300 or something per month to do a job listing. So usually, you know, it can almost be guaranteed that those listings that are on LinkedIn and those listings that are on Monster are serious. Those companies are trying to hire people in those positions. They're not just getting a free listing from somewhere. That doesn't work that way. But Google is quietly taking on LinkedIn with its own job listing site. And, accordingly, they have a new portal coming, adding yet another site that you'll need to upload your resume to. You can even visit the Google Hire site now, though it won't let you sign in. Hire will enable companies to post job listings and individuals search for and find their next job. Details are pretty sparse, but there are already privacy concerns with the public-facing new site, which asks users to sign in with a personal Google account. There have been some speculation that this would allow potential employers to see your entire search history. There's no way. They're not going to do that. There is no way that Google... first of all, I don't want to know what your search history is. Can you imagine? Maybe some employers would want that. Not me. Google's denied those claims. I would be shocked. I mean, I would be shocked to my core if they did that. So job recruitment arena is big. And so we'll see. We'll see what it comes. But maybe you're going to find your next job on Google Hire. Time will tell. The FCC's been up to a lot of stuff that many of us don't agree with here recently. The net neutrality thing, of course, with Congress and all that is you know, it's affecting the FCC. It's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's happening that many of you are not happy with. But believe it or not, Google Fiber could get FCC help in fights to compete against AT&T. What it really boils down to is utility poles. In most cities, states, the utility poles are often owned not by the city, but by the telco. And when someone wants to come in, they have to get all kinds of, they have to, you know, apply for hanging permission. And it just, there's a whole bunch of stuff that they have to go through in order to, you know, get access to these utility poles to string cable, fiber, whatever they're putting in. You know, Google has cut its staff and paused its fiber operations in 11 cities while it, because it basically, it was too expensive to bury fiber, and they, AT&T and Comcast and those companies, just basically were slow rolling them on, and, you know, being able to access utility poles. And, again, those poles are generally owned by the phone companies like AT&T or the electric utilities. Again, no matter who owns the poles, it's usually up to each ISP to move its own wires in order to make room for new wires installed by their rivals. So, you know, they have to move them. And sometimes they have to do, you know, monetary contracts and that kind of stuff. So, the FCC's current 5-month timeline for processing pole attachment requests include 45 days for application review and engineering surveys, 14 days for cost estimates, 14 days for attacher acceptance, and another 60 to 75 days for the make-ready work of moving existing wires, which, you know, that's per pole. And so the FCC may be pushing to accelerate the broadband deployment by removing barriers to infrastructure investment by forcing the, you know, basically the those folks to make room or allow the new incumbent utility to move the wires. So we'll see what happens with this, but the FCC may make it easier for competition, which is always good when it comes to these pole agreements. Where I live here in Hawaii, all my utilities are buried, so they can. And I have talked to the, you know, the telco and talked to the cable provider, and if they want, they can blow fiber in to the curb, or very close to the curb, or very close to where your box comes in, because everything here is a conduit. So. And with spare capacity, because I'm in a relatively newer neighborhood. So we don't have utility poles per se in Hawaii, not only because of the basically being ugly, largely because we have hurricanes here from time to time. And they were very smart in burying the utilities from the get-go. So that's one thing you won't see in Hawaii when you're driving around is a bunch of utility poles. You'll see a lot of tore up roads. Yeah. Hey, this is crazy. If you go to jail in Alabama, they, you know, the state or city or whoever puts you in jail, they have to feed you, right? They got to feed you some gruel to keep you alive. But in Alabama, a number of statutes and practices have created a perverse incentive for law enforcement. In Alabama, there's a law governing the feeding of inmates. The law passed over 100 years ago. Now check this out. This is crazy. It says law enforcement, mainly sheriffs, can keep whatever's left over from state and federal inmate food stipends. That doesn't mean that the leftover money is routed to a general fund or used to defray law enforcement jail-related expenses. No, 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 no. This means the money flows from taxpayers, mostly bypasses the prisoner's plates, and ends up in the sheriff's personal checking account. This is a law. They're allowed to do this. This legalized skimming has resulted in the obvious underfed inmates and sheriffs with overfed bank accounts. Apparently, some sheriff just recently increased his personal income by $212,000 over 3 years, taking home a great deal of the $1.75 per prisoner per day state fund and the excess that wasn't spent on their food. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. So the inmates starve and the sheriff fills his bank account. So I guess it pays to be a sheriff in Alabama and to have skinny inmates. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, yeah. So going back to our Facebook comments, Mike says, I was a photojournalist many years. I've seen my share. I'm sure you have. Probably very bad crime scenes. Okay, so let me move on. But anyway, I saw that tonight in the stack, and I just had to share that with you. Don't go to jail in Alabama unless you want to lose weight. Now, this should come as no surprise. This, you know, so what did Uber and Lyft do? It's really impacted the taxi cab business, right? It's made them competitive. It's made the taxi cab drivers clean up their cabs. It's made taxi cab drivers not rip people off. You know, all these things that we've put up with all these years from taxi cab companies that have just been nothing but, you know, take extra dollars out of our pockets. And I'm not saying all cab drivers were bad, but, you know, the fair majority of them figure out a way to, you know, to get a few more bucks out of you on a ride, you know, based on, you know, traffic flow and all that. Hotels are pressuring the government to crack down on Airbnb. It's happening here in Hawaii in a big, big way. There's a big battle going on here. We know that the home sharing service lures many would-be customers away from the lower rates and perks that come from staying in someone else's place. So how does it fight back? By pushing the government to crack down. The New York Times has learned that the American Hotel and Lodging Association has been conducting a multi-pronged national lobbying and research campaign to have politicians impose or toughen restrictions, selectively collect taxes, and draw attention to the negative effects of home sharing. So, for example, the steep penalty in New York for running illegal hotels has been chalked up by lobbying by the American Hotel and Lodging Association. The AHLA is also funding studies highlighting some of the issues, real or perceived, with Airbnb, such as the economic damage to hotels and communities. It even partners with affordable housing and neighborhood groups to channel their outrage. So one thing that this trip, when my wife was going to Japan, they want to, so where were they staying? They're staying in, Shinjuku. Wait, is that right? They're staying in part of a popular part of Tokyo, lots of nightclubs, lots of shopping. But the hotels there are pretty expensive. Now, she's going with a girlfriend. They're sharing cost for the hotel room. And Japan hotel rooms are not like hotel rooms in the United States. Most of them are very, very small. Sometimes a closet is bigger than a hotel room in Japan, especially in Tokyo. So there's a place my wife has stayed, relatively close to the place that they're going, that it's like two train stops away, easy to get in and out of, that she thought would be good. But the girl she was going with wanted to do Airbnb, and Airbnb in Tokyo is huge, if you don't know that. And actually, if I was to use Airbnb, and I've never used Airbnb before, if I was to use Airbnb anywhere, it would be in Tokyo, just because of the culture, and the way things work there. And, you know, I just hope stupid Americans don't go and mess it up, because, and I say that because sometimes we do stupid things in foreign countries. The people are very trustworthy. You can, you know, women can walk down the street at 3 o'clock in the morning and feel safe. You know, Japan has a very low crime rate. You know, you can be on the train and drunk and puke in somebody's lap and not get beat up. The person will get off the train, and, you know, it they're very accommodating. It's just the culture, the way Japan is. And, you know, you might get yelled at, you know, when it, you know, again, I've seen it all, and they're very, you know, typically very passive. And so if I was going to stay in Airbnb in Tokyo, I think it would be great, because I'm sure it would be a great experience. And it's really allows you to be immersed in a community for a few days that you're staying there. But anyway, my wife didn't want to do it. She felt a little weird about doing an Airbnb in Japan, whereas I'd have been like, yeah, let's do one in Tokyo. My wife was just the opposite. No, I'm going to stay in a hotel. So she wasn't ready to try that for the first time. But it's big there. But they're fighting it here in Hawaii in a big way. Because it, you know, people put their places up available, and it's cheaper than, you know, paying $350 a night to stay in a hotel in Waikiki. If you can stay $250 in an Airbnb, you know, close to downtown, it's even better. All right, moving on to the next topic. There's a bunch of Google-specific articles out right now, and it looks like Google's trying to generate folks to be using their tools a lot more. One that I found up was Google Assistant. How many of you use Google Assistant? I'd love to hear from you if you're using it very much. You know, the only thing that I use Google, I really don't use a Google Assistant for. I use Google Maps to figure out how long it's going to take to drive somewhere in the morning. It gives me the pretty accurate commute times. And that really isn't using Google Assistant. That's just using Google Maps. But anyway, how many of you use Google Assistant? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews at gmail.com. Hey, Mark. Greetings from Oxfordshire, England. Welcome to the show. Thanks for watching. I know it's early morning there. Glad you're catching the show live. Getting you caught up on all the news here from across the pond. Thanks for tuning in live. Let's talk just a little bit about Uber. As I've told you, I'm not going to be using Uber. When I go to Vegas, I'm going to be exclusively using Lyft. I'm not real happy with some of the stuff that Uber's been doing in the marketplace. So for those of you that are driving on Uber, better get your Lyft licenses, because, you know, if you want me to ride in your car, I'm riding on Lyft. But Uber has stood alone against tipping. And every once in a while, I'll get a driver that just goes above and beyond. And, you know, whereas if you're in a taxi cab and if you don't give them a tip, they get pissed. You know, they actually will sometimes, especially in New York City, they'll yell at you. I've had taxi cab drivers, scream at me in New York because I didn't give a tip. Well, you know, he got his tip the extra five blocks he drove out of his way. But sometimes a driver will go out of the way, and, you know, typically they're not supposed to take cash, but I've given drivers cash before as a tip. So what's going on is the New York City Tax and Limousine Commission, which is a very powerful entity in New York City, said it was considering enacting a new rule that would require car service companies like Uber to offer a way to tip that was in line with the method of payment. And since Uber is a cashless experience, that would mean Uber would be forced to add in an app tipping option. As New York City goes, probably the rest of the nation would as well. So we'll see what happens here with tipping. Now, when they're in surge pricing, I am typically not going to give a tip, because surge pricing, you're already paying a premium. And I've been in some surge pricing before where I really got really stuck with a big ride. You know, it tells you how much it's going to be. But, you know, when you're trying to get somewhere in Vegas, you're trying to get somewhere, or New York City or wherever you may be. I've talked many times about how I love using, you know, car service like Lyft or Uber in Manhattan. You know, walk out of a big, you know, 100 floor building, you hit the app that you need a ride in 2 minutes. You got a car there to take you to your next, you know. I was able to do more meetings the last time I was in New York just because of the, you know, ability to get around the city was much, much easier than trying to hail a cab. But so we'll see if they're going to make it so that we can. So we can tip drivers. Lyft, I believe, you can do that. There's an option to do so. All right, we talked about Pico Brew a few shows ago, talking about the Kickstarter. It's already way past its funding goal. The countertop brewing machine is a cheaper, smaller, easier to use version of their earlier models. And they were they raised $1 million in Kickstarter dollars. And but they've got something that they're adding on. Now, just so you know, if you brewing beer is one thing, but brewing or distilling spirits, that's a little bit different story. So I'm going to caution you here. So they're offering a Pico still, which can be purchased in a bundle with the Pico Model C beer brewing machine. Prices may vary a little bit here, but you can get the Pico C and a Pico still combo for $479. Pico still is itself is an attachment that works with any Pico or Zymatic brewing appliance. It has a copper distilling coil and a glass infusion chamber. And, of course, it's only going to be used to distill essential oils, waters, and spirits. Now, remember, the laws for making wine and beer at home are way different than making spirits. But, you know, if you're just going to make yourself a gallon or two or of some sort of clear liquid that was developed from a corn mash in your home, you're probably okay to not have the federales kick your door in. But yes, you can essential oils, you can use the still for that. I thought this was kind of cool. So, you know, what's that moonshine show that's on television? And I think that thing is completely fake. I just don't believe it for a second that these guys are, you know, cooking moonshine out in the middle of the woods someplace. And maybe they are, but I know that, you know, when I used to live on the East Coast, I knew where to get my, my quart jar of liquid refreshment. Knew where to, you know, to pick up a few of those. But if you can make your own, interesting, yeah? You can get a beer brewer and a still for $479. So, anyone want to, make up some mash? Oh, wonderful. All right. There's an article on CNET about the complete list of Alexa commands so far, and there's a lot of them. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. So if you're not familiar with all the commands that your Alexa will do, I'll have that available for you. Those of you that live down in Australia, eBay threatens to block Australians from using offshore sellers. Plan to collect local sales taxes from all sellers has a little bit of a battle going on with between Amazon and eBay and so forth. So Basically, eBay's threatened to stop Australian buyers from doing business with offshore sellers if the nation goes ahead with a plan to charge local sales taxes on imported goods. Australia levies a goods and service tax, GST, at a rate of 10% collected at the point of sale, but the tax is not applied to imports valued at under $1,000 Australian, leading local retailers to complain they can be undercut by offshore online sellers. So basically, a 2011 inquiry found that charging GST on imported items valued at less than $1,000 would cost more money than it would raise. But that hasn't stopped Australia's current government from plowing ahead with a plan to collect GST on imports anyway. To start doing so is July 1st, 2017. eBay submission is a doozy because regardless of the government's legislation may force eBay to prevent Australians from buying from foreign sellers because of the TAT, because of this tax. So we'll see where this leads. Link will be up in the show notes for those of you down in Australia that want to see that, okay? If you're available online tomorrow, NASA will webcast a 360-degree view of a cargo ship launch. You can watch it live. The Orbital ATK robotic Cygnus cargo spacecraft is scheduled to launch towards the International Space Station atop a United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket at 11:11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Ah, I'll be awake. I can watch that from here. From Cape Canaveral, and you can watch it on NASA TV or directly on the Space Agency's YouTube channel. But this is going to be some sort of 360 view of the launch. So this should be fantastic. So more supplies headed to the International Space Station tomorrow. There's interesting, you know, everyone's doing marches these days. They're going to go see marching to get Trump's taxes. They're going to go marching to stand up for, you know, whatever cause. But in a little over 2 weeks, scientists and science advocates are planning to flood the streets of 480 cities around the globe. They'll stand up for science. It's called March for Science. Organizers want to make sure they don't go back to sitting down after that. On Monday, the organizers revealed the plan to keep organizing for science after April 22nd, March, as they attempt to kickstart a new social movement. So I guess it's going to be a march in Washington. The main march is going to happen in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall. It will include 18 teach-ins on science, how it benefits people directly. I guess they think we need more science. Is this actually a march for climate change, or is this actually what is the spin going to be? This is the question that I want to know about this. Are they just talking about climate change science? Or are they talking about actual science where it's much broader than climate change? So we'll see. But anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. There's a really good image on space.com. And it basically, you know, oftentimes we see this marble that we live on to be, you know, it's quite beautiful when you get a sun-facing image. But oftentimes we don't get to see a lot of pictures from the dark side of the Earth, you know, a picture taken with the city lights and so forth. We see them from time to time from the International Space Station. Oh, come on now. You know, I swear to goodness that... All right, let me kill that browser tab. Oh, you have got to be kidding me. So, Firefox has a mind of its own at times. And the Flash plugin on this stupid thing, it just kills me. It's now hung up. You have got to be kidding me. All right, I guess I'm not going to be able to show you the picture. It'll figure out that it's all right. Finally, it just sits there and it freezes. Please, someone put a knife in Flash. Please kill it so we don't have to suffer anymore. And I can tell the page is going to pop up. The Flash plugin has stopped working. Warning. But anyway, the satellite weather station the NASA's released a high definition satellite image of Earth's nightlights. For the first time since 2012, the composite image of Earth as a black marble shows Asia and Australia in 2016. And there's a variety. There's North America, South America, Africa. So some really cool images. And then a composite of everything. And it just kind of shows you where, of course, the populations are, you know, focused in and around the coast. Very evident, except for India. They live everywhere. And the United States too as well. So I have that link up for you to check out. Of course, Europe. All right. Enough of me complaining about Firefox. All right. Next article up. What's the most awkward? Here's, you know, this is a quiz, not a quiz, but I want you guys to submit this to me. What was your most awkward wrong number or text that you've ever received? If you've got one that stands out in your head, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear from you because the folks over at Lifehacker have some doozies. I want to hear what your guys' are. What's the most awkward wrong phone number or text that you received that you shouldn't have got? Over on Ars Technica, there's a cool project. If you're into kit projects and doing cool stuff, a guy built a mini Lego. Excuse me, he built a mini Lego Macintosh with an e-ink display. And he talks about how he built it and the parts that he used. So a little bit of a cool project for you if you want to build something cool. And it's an actual e-ink display that updates. And so it talks about everything he used. And I believe it plugs into his... into a USB port, but talks about the little parts that he used to build this project. So pretty slick for those of you that are Mac fans, all right? Also, Microsoft is rumored to be launching a cloud book in a few weeks. It's a education-oriented software and hardware event in New York City. Microsoft is supposedly going to unveil a sub-premium laptop, something more robust than a Surface, but not as fancy as a Surface Book. And rather than run good old Windows 10, the new product could run something called Windows 10 Cloud, which reportedly will only be able to run apps that you find in Windows Store unless you change a certain preference in settings. The idea is that you'll keep your device more secure. One thing I want to share with you guys that, you know, you talk about all these, you know, mini-type PCs. I got to test a mini PC that I've had attached to my new television for about a month. And let's see if I can bring up the article for you. And it's on, and I put the review up this weekend along with some other stuff. It's from a company called Azuli. And it's Azuli Access Plus Fanless Mini PC Stick. The one I got is $167. It comes with 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage. Oh, come on. How come you didn't load the right page? I'm batting 1,000 tonight. I'm showing you guys these pages. But really, all it is, it's about the size of the palm of your hand. And it will plug into a HDMI port on your flat screen. It comes with a little jumper. If you don't want to have it hanging there, you can have it stick right into the port if you have room, or you can use a jumper. And then it requires a 15 volts or something like that power supply that comes in this, you know, one of those bricks. But this runs a Windows 10. It is awesome. It's not like this super powered PC. It's not designed to do that because it runs on a quad core Intel Atom Cherry Intel Atom Cherry Trail processor. I think it's like 1.4 or something like that. But it's well enough that I get a 1080 screen with a, it just looks like, you know, like you've got Windows 10 running on your desktop. And I can load a browser. I can do home theater stuff. I can do Skype calls. And I use it in combination with a wireless keyboard and mouse with a gyroscope in it from Azuli as well, that costs $29. But I wrote about these over the weekend on the website at geekandcentral.com. This is really slick for any of you that want a PC but want to keep it kind of hid out of the way, that it attaches to your, you know, to it. Maybe even you could use this. Well, let me go further here. This could be in a kid's room on a kid's monitor, so the kids could have a machine that they could work in the cloud on, a really inexpensive PC, again, for your living room to do home theater type stuff. You can attach an external hard drive to it. It's got a USB 2.0 or USB 3.0 connection. They're coming out with some additional stuff that has a little bit more horsepower behind it that I've been made aware of as well that I'll probably keep an eye on. But again, this Azuli Access Plus Fanless Mini PC Stick is, it's really, really slick. And I was honestly quite surprised how it operated. Again, I don't want to just run, you know, any super duper games on it, but browsers, going to sites that maybe don't have an over the top app for like the Roku or something, this thing is perfect for. There's a few sites my wife likes to go to that are in Japan where she can get access to Japanese content that she can't get anywhere else. And this is a great little product. Again, the Azuli Lynx remote control is the other product that I have. Again, it's just, you know, little standard remote control with a keyboard on it. It connects either via Bluetooth or it has a special signal. You don't actually have to be line of sight of the receiver and everything. So $29.99. It has voice commands in it as well. So I wrote about that remote control as well. It's pretty cool to be able to surf the net just kicking back in your Lazy Boy. But you can check those two articles out over on geekandcentral.com, all right? All right, where am I in my stack of stuff here? I kind of got out of sequence. All right, I've covered that. All right, Apple's replacing busted fourth-gen iPads with a newer, faster Air 2. So if you have a fourth-gen that needs to go into Apple Care and be replaced, they're giving you an Air 2 as a replacement versus the fourth-gen. So you're getting a little better iPad. Also, it's been announced that the Trump administration is not following the footsteps of President Obama in basically providing stuff on open.gov. They're not going to be releasing White House visitor logs. If you want that information, you're going to have to go and do a Freedom of Information Act request. So we'll see what happens with this. I'm sure this will end up in court before it's all over. Now, I guess the Snapchat had some big event called Coachella, and I'm not familiar with this event at all, but some dude was arrested at Coachella. 36 Rinaldo de Jesus Hinano was arrested at the festival on Sunday with more than, check this out, he had scored 100 stolen smartphones. He had 100 phones in his backpack, but this knucklehead, when he stole them, he didn't turn them off. So they basically, all these folks that lost iPhones were able to do find my phone, track this dude down, and didn't take too long, and they arrested him. How this guy was able to steal 100 phones is beyond me. But I guess people just got too crazy and maybe drinking too much. Who knows? But 100 phones. You have to give him credit for getting that many at an event. But in the slammer he goes. The Google S8 prototype with dual camera is some pictures are surfacing on that. So I have a similar dual camera setup that the iPhone does, stacked one on top of another. So expect that with the new Galaxy S8 Plus when it actually comes out. If you want to kind of have a recollection of the way things were in the past, you can go back to 1984 with the Internet Archive's Macintosh collection. So the Internet Archive recently resurrected something. This time it's a swath of apps, games, and software from the original Macintosh 1984. That means stuff like Load Runner, Mac OS 7.01, and Mac Basic 2.0 and Space Invaders are available and in their pixelated black and white glory. So the archive says this collection of stuff from 84 to 89 is just the first set of emulations from the Mac of the day. So it might not be too long before more apps are available. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Russia, you know, gotta love these guys. They built a robot and it's being taught to use a gun. I know this is not the soldier of the future. They're saying that is not the case at all, but when you guys see this thing, you're going to be like, I'm going to have to, you know, army guys are going to see this and be like, I'm going to have to fight that. So yeah, they've got this robot holding a couple of handguns like he's, you know, looking for a gunfight at the on the corral. Oh my gosh. No, it's not going to be this is not a Terminator. That sure kind of looks like one. All right, link could be up in the show notes for you to check out. Oh no, what happened? Facebook went offline. How did that happen? Oh, we're still on. I guess it must have zigzagged for a second here. All right, I got a lot of articles tonight. I'm not going to get done here. The Galaxy S8 battery, they've been doing a lot of testing on it, cutting it in half, smashing it, doing all kinds of things to try to make it catch on fire. And so far, it's taking a beating, and it's passing the 8-point safety check for the battery that Samsung laid out. So far, so good. The battery is not catching fire. So it took some serious abuse on these tests that Uber Gizmo put it up against. That's good news for those of you that have pre-ordered that phone. Sony is shutting down servers for select PlayStation games. So Sony's confirmed it's going to shut down a number of PlayStation 3 games, one PlayStation 4 game, as well as one PlayStation Vita game. Those who like PlayStation Move will want to pay close attention to these games are mostly titles that utilize the PlayStation Move platform, I guess. And, you know, this isn't the first time that Sony has done something like this, as an entire list of the previously decommissioned titles on its website. But starting July 1st, the service for High Velocity Bowling, Medieval Moves, Deadman's Quest, Sports Champions, and Sports Champion 2 will be shut down. All these games are on the PlayStation 3. They're going to shut down for PlayStation Vita, Mod Nation Racers, Road Trips, and for the PlayStation 4, they're going to shut down Killstrain. So be aware of that if you are a gamer of any one of those games on those platforms. YouTube is opening up its mobile live streams to more users, but you still need 1,000 subscribers to use it. So it hasn't been long since YouTube rolled out live streaming for those who want to broadcast directly from their phones. So today, however, YouTube service made live video available to YouTubers with a smaller subscription base. So if you've got at least 1,000 subscribers to your channel, you can go live on the go. So we'll be testing that because my channel has that and some. All right, last couple of articles for tonight. Google's fixing a Chrome bug that leaves users open to phishing. So it's working on an update. Don't know when this is going to be out, but there is a experimental fix available that if you want to download the beta, you can do that. But just be careful when you're using Chrome not to go to sites that you're not familiar with till this bug is patched. Also, a congressman really got his butt handed to him. House Representative Jim Sensenbrenner, Republican of Wisconsin, had a remarkable answer to a constituent who basically was calling him on his vote to kill the proposed information safeguards. So, you know, it basically gave the ISPs a green light to continue doing what they've been continuing to do. But he basically said, the response to his vote, he says, you don't have to use the internet if you don't like it. Oh my God. That probably was not the right thing to say. He should have said, the rules that President Obama put in place on privacy had not even been enacted yet. So we rolled back something that hadn't even been in place. That's probably what he should have said. I think that's the talking points for, you know, them doing that legislation. Not that if you don't have to use the internet if you don't like it. Tesla's cut the price of its entry-level Model S by $5,000. So Model S 60 and 60D has cut the price to $69,500. Oh my goodness. So, yeah. All Model S variants now come with a glass roof. Previously a $15 option and automatic rear power lift gate. The 90Ds also reached a price cut to $87,500. And if you brought an upgradable 60 to 70, that's basically the car, cut to $87,500. Oh, so you just unlock the full battery and cost an additional $2,000. But anyway, yeah, they've lowered the price a little bit. It's still well out of my range. Also, if you're looking to buy a Roomba, we've got one that's on sale, $300 today on Amazon. Be aware of that. Okay, let's see what we've got. If we had any comments come in from the last show, I'm all over the place tonight. I apologize. I was rushed getting the show ready. So, we're good on emails. So you guys really enjoyed your Easter holiday. No one sent any comments in, but you can do that following today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. And yeah, on soccer nights, it's kind of crazy. So I get in here and I have like 50 minutes to get the show going. So I'm usually pretty much prepped, but you know, tonight I have the added responsibility of feeding the hungry boys, and I had to get that done before I came in here, got things set up. Hey, thanks for being here. We definitely appreciate you as a listener, and we're on our march to 1,200 episodes. I'm excited to be able to bring that episode to you here within probably the next month. So look forward to seeing you on Thursday. We'll talk a little bit more about what's going to happen at during the time I'm at NAB. But until then, everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Definitely drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @geeknews, and definitely follow our sponsor and use those promo codes. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.